Good morning. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Makes me a little nervous to stand up here and preach a sermon, but I'm excited for what God has showed me to bring a message this morning. I was thinking through the Sunday school lesson there, it would have been good for me to have that input last week before I was preparing for this, but I hope God has something to share this morning through myself. I just want to say that the message this morning, I want to be open for if there's correction, if I say something that you don't agree with or whatever, just feel free to bring that to me here. I want to start the message this morning by reading a story that I came across. I thought that fits in pretty good with what we're looking at here. As you sow, so shall you reap. A frail old man went to live with his son, daughter-in-law, and four-year-old grandson. The old man's hands trembled, his eyesight was blurred, and his step faltered. The family ate together at the table, but the elderly grandfather, shaking hands and failing sight, made eating difficult. Peas rolled off his spoon onto the floor. When he grasped the glass, milk spilled on the tablecloth. The son and daughter-in-law became irritated with the mess. "We must do something about father," said the son. "I've had enough of this spilled milk, noisy eating, and food on the floor." So the husband and wife set a small table in the corner. There, grandfather ate alone, while the rest of the family enjoyed dinner. Since grandfather had broken a dish or two, his food was served in a wooden bowl. When the family glanced at grandfather's direction, sometime he had a tear in his eye as he sat alone. Still, the only words the couple had for him were sharp admonitions when he dropped a fork or spilled food. The four-year-old watched it all in silence. One evening before supper, the father noticed his son playing with wood scraps on the floor. He asked the child sweetly, "What are you making?" Just as sweetly, the boy responded, "Oh, I'm making a little bowl for you and Mama to eat your food in when I grow up." The four-year-old smiled and went back to work. The words so struck the parents so that they were speechless. Then tears started to stream down their cheeks. Though no word was spoken, both knew what must be done. That evening, the husband took grandfather's hand and gently led him back to the family table. For the remainder of his days, he ate every meal with the family, and for some reason, neither husband nor wife seemed to care any longer when a fork was dropped, milk spilled, or the tablecloth soiled. So, I was came across that story. I thought it fits in very well there. They soon realized what they were doing there and how it was could be affecting their future. So as I was thinking about what to share this morning, I was wondering what do we need to hear? I believe that's probably the most difficult thing in preparing for a message. What to bring? What do you need to hear on September 30th? And I believe God directed this message to me. I believe maybe he wanted it for me to hear as well. And so the title of the message is, "What Seeds Are You Sowing?" And I invite your attention to Galatians chapter 6 for a text this morning. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And before I get into this here, I just want to look a little bit of background here. Lee talked about in the Sunday school hour there of context, taking a scripture. A lot of times there's a background for the scripture, and you have to look at the whole picture. And in chapter 5, I want to look a little bit of what it talks about there, living in the freedom of Christ in the beginning of the chapter there. Freedom, we have freedom in Jesus Christ. And then the next part is talking about living under the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And We want to look a little bit here at how the gospel empowers us. The gospel of Jesus Christ, those of us who are redeemed, the gospel empowers us to love and obey by God's Spirit working within us, to love and obey God in a way that the law could never do. The law can tell us what to do, but the law can't change our hearts. And a person serving under the law, a person feels that serving under the law feels they can't meet up to what the law has them would ask them to do. And he not only does that because he feels that's the thing for him to do, to serve under the law. And it is only by God's Spirit that working in our hearts and allowing God to write his law in our hearts, that creates a desire for us to serve Jesus Christ. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but legalism, on the other hand, doesn't give us the desire to serve the Lord. Serving under that mindset, we can't find freedom in Christ. And don't get me wrong here, there has to be a balance. Can't say that because we're free in Christ, because of chapter 5 here, it says about freedom in Christ, because we're free in Christ, that we can live the way we want to. And that's not what he's saying here. It's not saying that we can go on sinning just because we're free in Christ. I'm free, and I can go on living the way I want to. Being free in Christ does not give us a license to sin. It still requires us to daily crucify our flesh. And so I believe there's a reason why chapter 6 comes after chapter 5 there. Because we have the freedom in Christ, it is so important that we keep in mind this law of sowing and reaping here, as it talks about in verse 6. This here is so important, this section of verses here. You know, if we're sowing bitterness, or we have things in our heart that are not right, hate or whatever it may be, that's what we're going to reap here according to these verses. On the other hand, if we're sowing love and we're sowing friendship, and that's what's going to be reaped. Now, that being said, I believe every Christian here knows about the war that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. There's a war. We're at war every day, I do believe. And because at one time we were under the flesh, at one time we were living under the flesh, and now hopefully we're living under the Spirit if we have our lives are changed. And there's a war between the flesh and the Spirit. The flesh wants to go its way, and the Spirit says no. So we may wonder how can we see more fruits of the Spirit coming out of us? What are ways that we can see more of that, more of Christ flowing out of us, and see less of the desires of the flesh, the rotten desires of the flesh that wars within us? And I hate to break it to us here, but as long as we're living here on this earth, we're going to have that struggle. There's going to be a war between the flesh and the spirit. So how can we shape our minds to think ahead in the future and to live in the light of eternity, and to remember that the things that we do today, the choices that we make today, they will have a tremendous impact on our future? And I was thinking a little bit about our Anabaptists, our heritage, our Anabaptist forefathers, and Ray here recently has given us a little bit of insight into that. We've seen pictures and stuff of where they originated. And what they said. They said no to the Zwingli, the Reformation, and they chose a different road. And it was a road that really cost them greatly. And look where the church is today. The Anabaptist Church is today, and how they were faithful to carry on the torch of faith. And that's a choice, I believe, that we need to make, each one of us, personally, individually. Where do I want my great-grandchildren, for example, to be? If the Lord tarries, will they be faithful? And I want to add here that we can't make our children become followers of Jesus Christ. God needs to work, and the Spirit needs to work in their lives. But we can lead them in that direction. I just was just thinking as I was studying for this message here, I just remember living at home, times where honesty and integrity was displayed in our family at home. And I'm sure a lot of you can remember that as well. And it spoke volumes to me as a young person. And just to remember that everything we do, whether it's at home, in business, whatever it is, we are being watched. And would I want my great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren to live in my footsteps? Okay, I want to look at three different points here. The first point I want to look at is simply, we reap what we sow. In verse 7, it says, "For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." The law of sowing and reaping. It is something that will happen. The universe, the earth, is governed by laws. And there's a few teachers here this morning that could probably illustrate that a little better. But there's a law of gravity. The law of gravity, if you throw something up in the air, it'll come down. You know, if I would stand over here and jump off here, I'm going to go down. Apart from an angel holding me up, I will go down. And there's mathematical laws. There's Chloe just recently is learning about this in school. She told me that 2 + 2 = 4. And that is something that'll never change. 2 + 1 will never equal 4. And you know, this is elementary level here. This is not just for us as adults. I believe this could be a children's meeting here this morning. And you know, we reap what we sow. And I'd like to ask the children here this morning, are you sowing seeds of kindness? You know, children like to have their own stuff. I see that all the time. They like to have their own toys, and they don't like to give up the things that they were given to them. It wasn't even theirs. But to children here this morning, to remember that if you share your things to others, other people remember that, and then you can see them sharing to others as well. And I believe it's important for us as adults that we keep that in mind as well, on our level. And to look back a little bit at the story that I read at the beginning there, you know, that child, he's seen right through his parents' attitudes. He's seen right through their motives. And children, I believe, pick up on things so quickly, on things that we say, our actions and our motives. They will figure you out. And also there's agriculture laws. We don't have to be a farmer to know that if you plant a seed of corn, you're gonna reap a corn cob. And so if we sow to the flesh, we shall reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall reap life everlasting. So if we want to see a change in our lives, we can't start by trying to reap a different harvest. We need to start by sowing a different seed. Sometimes we think that maybe we can get a different harvest without sowing different seeds. Those seeds were already planted, so that harvest is being reaped. You are reaping that harvest. If you're not happy with the harvest that is being reaped, start with the seeds. Start planting different seeds. And there was an article that I came across here with an illustration. I'm going to try to remember how it went, but it was an illustration of a married couple, for example. And in marriage, sometimes there's conflicts. I'm sure nobody here has conflicts in marriage, but sometimes in marriage there is conflicts, and there's things that you need to work out. But each spouse, each person is probably focused on the faults of the other person. You're probably looking at the faults of the other person. And the harvest that we're going to look at here is the conflict. That's the harvest that you're reaping. The relational conflict is the harvest. And oftentimes we focus on changing that harvest. We want to make the situation the problem we have, we want to change that. We want to make that right. And oftentimes we are focusing on that, and we don't see that what we've sown to get there. We don't see sometimes what seeds were planted to get to that place. And maybe the seeds that were planted were being critical of the other person, or selfishness, or anger, or whatever it may be, the seeds that were planted. Not that the other person isn't sowing to the flesh, but we are reaping what is sown. And in these cases, it's the harvest that we look at that we're wanting to change instead of focusing on the seeds that we're planting. And and that can go with any relational problem or any other issues in life. So there's a little story another story here I came across I'm going to read right now. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In a certain state of the Union, a millionaire was engaged in the bootlegging business, thinking it an easy way to increase his wealth. He now undoubtedly believes the verse quoted above, for he is at the present time serving a long term in prison. A friend who called on him within the prison walls found him working, sitting cross-legged with a big needle and a ball of twine, sewing burlap bags. The friend, not knowing what else to say, remarked, "Sowing, eh?" Looking up with an ill-natured smile, the man replied, "No, I'm reaping." And that's a story there of a person in prison. And I just was looking a little bit on some statistics here. The U.S. holds almost 2.3 million people in prisons across the nations. 2.3 million people in prisons. And oftentimes, you know, we look at prisoners and say, well, they're reaping what was sown. You might say they deserve it. And it may be true, but I think many times, not always, but I think many times it's because of a dysfunctional family. You know, dad wasn't there for the son, or whatever it may be. Dad's out there living a life of pleasure. 70% of inmates come from dysfunctional families. And you know, that's sad. Another statistic here, there was a 222% increase in the incarceration rate in the United States between 1980 and 2012. A 222% increase in incarceration rate. And I was thinking, you know, how ironic is that in the year 1980, that was the year that the Ten Commandments were taken out of the schools. In 1962, prayer in schools was considered unconstitutional. In 1973, the Supreme Court decision was made to legalize abortion. And, you know, we look at the erosion of the moral character in our nation today in America. You know, divorce is almost normal. It's almost considered, it's a normal thing. And, you know, if we follow the news, we see some of the ridiculous things that are happening in our government today, to the point where we really should just turn off the news, just distance ourselves from that. As bad as it is, we see fighting back and forth, and the anger, the lying, and the accusations that are thrown, to the point of destroying a person's life through whatever it may be, social media or whatever. A person can be decimated, their life, in a very short time. And I was just thinking of just this past week. I don't know if you've been following the news or not, but it's been in the news that they're trying to nominate a Supreme Court justice. And with his confirmation, there is a chance that that abortion could be restricted or stopped. And that has many people in an uproar. And the accusations of assault, sexual assault, were being thrown at this judge, which don't seem to hold much credibility, and what seems like false. And so he had to spend hours before a committee trying to defend himself and build up a reputation that was destroyed in such a short time. And I don't know the whole story, I don't know either side, and it doesn't really matter. But really, the point I'm trying to make is America as a nation reaping what was sown years, decades ago, in the direction that the nation is headed. And that shouldn't really make a difference to us here this morning. I hope and pray that we are sowing seeds of the Spirit, as it says there in verse 8. sowing to the Spirit and of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And it's so important because of the consequences. And that brings us to our next point. We reap more than we sow. Second point, we reap more than we sow. We don't get back what we put out, but much more. One seed is multiplied into many seeds. The harvest that we receive is much more. And we talked about a corn cob earlier, and I thought about bringing a corn cob in here this morning, but I just didn't feel right going over to my neighbor's cornfield and ripping a corn cob off. So I could have had a farmer here bring one in, but we all know what a corn cob looks like. There's an average of, from my studies, there's an average of 700 to 800 kernels per cob, which I thought that seemed outrageous. I didn't think it would be that much, but that's what I come up with. And so if we're looking at what a harvest brings forth, just in my studies, about how many corn stalks there is per acre of ground would come up with approximately, this is approximately 40 million kernels per acre. And then if you look at a 100-acre field, that's 4 billion kernels. And I don't know how many seeds need to be planted to get that amount. But we get the point. There is much more harvested. And to bring that point to on a spiritual level, what we sow, we will reap abundantly. And I want to look at what Jesus said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And this here verse here was in the context of giving, and giving out of a heart of love, and giving cheerfully, out of a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. And that can be applied really to all aspects of giving. And I was one point that I want to look at is time. I have that in my notes here, time with an exclamation point. Time, giving of our time. The reason I say that is because I believe it strikes home to me, for one thing. And let's be honest, I believe we as Mennonites, we like to work. We were born into to families that have a good work ethic, which is a good thing. But I believe also time is valuable. How many hours in a day is spent for my own good, for myself? And I just did a little figuring here. There's 28,000, in the average person's lifespan, there's 28,000 days in a person's life. So we subtract average of 8 hours per day. That gives us with 448,000 hours of hours that we can be doing good. And it's not really that many if you think about it, 448,000 hours. And how many of them hours do we spend in our time over and above what we need for our own good? I'm not saying here that we need to all go out and neglect businesses and our work so we can give more time elsewhere. We do need businesses to support needs. But I was just thinking about this, you know, as I was studying here. When I'm on my deathbed, what am I going to look back and see? Am I going to be happy with the time that I spent serving others, or is it going to be time that I spent for myself and my own good? there's a phrase here that I seen different people have it on their refrigerators or whatever. We sow a thought and reap an act. We sow an act and reap a habit. We sow a habit and reap a character. We sow a character and reap a destiny. So we look here, we see what that's saying. We sow a thought, it starts with a thought, and then that turns into an act, that turns into action. And action eventually turns into habits. And habits turns into what we are as a person, our character. And our character eventually, that is eventually we reap a destiny. So I can come up here with all kinds of illustrations this morning of how we can sow and reaping here, but I believe each person here this morning needs to make a determination personally in our hearts. Are we going to sow fruit to the Spirit, or are we going to sow to the flesh, or are we sowing to the flesh? Because if it's not fruit to the Spirit, then it's sowing fruits of the flesh. There's nothing in between. On July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong was the first man to set foot on the moon. As he stepped onto the surface, he uttered his now famous line, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." That historic event happened almost 45 years ago, but those first footsteps are still there, undisturbed. In fact, NASA estimates that those first footprints will be there for a million years, and that's their quote, a million years, because there is no wind or water or animals to disturb them. As we walk through life, we leave imprints on others' lives that not only can last a lifetime, but can last for eternity. If we keep in step with the Spirit and we sow to the Spirit will use us to leave a footprint in people's lives that can last for eternity. And that's sobering to think that people can be affected by our character and our morals, and it will leave an impression on other people's lives. The third point that I have here is we reap in a different season than we sow. And let's just look there. Oh, got to go back here to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, looking at verse 9. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In due season. That is a phrase that we don't always like to hear. We don't want to have to wait to see the harvest. But my as I was studying for this here, it was a couple of weeks ago, my wife mentioned that I should bring a message. I was asking her what message should I bring, and she said that I should bring a message on finding the joy of the Lord while being a full-time mother. And, you know, working morning till night, meeting the needs of the children all day. And my wife has the joy of the Lord. And she said that after a long day of stress. I think it was a teething baby. And I was thinking about hopefully the tea party that you ladies had, hopefully that was a good stress reliever, a good way to get away. And that is important, that you can find a time to get away from the stresses of life. And you do need that. But I want to look at this verse here as kind of dedicated to all the mothers here this morning. We are blessed with a lot of young mothers with young children. And this is not just for the young mothers as well. It's for all mothers here. But it says, "Weary in well-doing." How many of us here get weary? I believe all of us do at times. You know, for myself, after a long, stressful day at work, We're tired. We want to relax, and that's fine. And for the mothers here, after a night of dealing with a sick, grumpy child, so we do get tired and weary at times. But what I think we're trying to say here, if our lives are lives of service, and we have the right attitudes, and we're serving Jesus Christ, that He says, through it all, don't give up. Your day of reckoning is coming. We shall reap in due season. We shall reap the rewards. And along with that, the rewards that we reap are not always immediate. And what I want to say, my thought was that the mothers here this morning, you are sowing some of the most important seeds that can be sown on this earth, I do believe. And your life and example is very important to your children, and it's good for us to remember that, especially in the middle of the night when a child is grumpy. The next that, you know, it's important on the next generation, the seeds that you sow and the time that you spend with them is very pivotal. And yes, God needs to work. I can't stress that enough. You can't choose your children's destiny, but it is very important on the effect that you have at a young age on them and at an age when they can be molded and they can be changed. So maybe you're here as a mother or a father as well, and you feel like you've been busy planting seeds in the lives of your children, and you really feel like you're not reaping rewards. You feel like you're just burning out, and you try to keep going. My advice is just to keep sowing. God will bless you. God is faithful, as it says in due season. And sometimes, like I said before, that's tough for us to see. We want to see the results now. We don't want to have to wait in the future to see results. And there is results now, don't get me wrong, but I believe, as an example, it works the same way with an investment. Like an earthly investment, for example, most investments are long-term. You look at different investments, a mutual fund or a property that you would buy, or a farm, for example. That's a long-term investment. Most times you wouldn't buy a farm and then sell it in a year and expect to reap a large profit out of it. But you would hope that as the years go by, as the value increases and as the principal, the payment, goes down in 20 to 30 years, you would hope that there would be a profit and you can reap a reward. And an investment can go wrong, on the other hand, if the homework isn't done or whatever, maybe some wrong decisions made, and it can go in a direction that you don't really want it to go. And so it is with eternal investments. It takes time, it takes energy, and into others, putting yourself, energy into others, and it is a long-term investment. And it is really much more beneficial than anything we can invest here on this earth. So much more, and you get so much more in return. So one little phrase here at the end of verse 9, it says, if we faint not. And I believe it's okay for us to get tired and weary. Jesus knows our human nature. We do get weary. I don't think it's saying here that you better not get tired, you better not get weary, or you're not going to reap a good harvest. But I believe the Greek word here means to relax, literally or figuratively, to loosen, to tear, crack, or to break up. And so I believe what he's saying here is let's not get lax. Let's not stagger in our faith and get stagnant, but let's press on. Let's be vigilant. Because we know the enemy, the devil, seeketh about whom he may devour. And I believe he is stronger than ever before in our world today. We see it all over. So in conclusion here, I want to look at verse 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And if we can keep that as our motto, not just, you know, it says, let us do good unto all men, not just those that we like, not just close friends or those that we agree with, but all men, I believe it will do good to advance the kingdom of Christ and to be planting seeds of encouragement and to be building for Christ's kingdom. I want to look at one more passage here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And the question I would ask is, can we take any credit for the advancing of the church and for a bountiful harvest? Can we take any credit personally? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, and verses 6 and 7, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So in some ways we can. we can take some credit, but as we think of planting seeds here on this earth, we plant the seeds, and say a flower or a plant, for example, we plant that seed, and then we water it, and we water it, and God makes that plant grow. We can't make that plant grow. And I believe looking at this here is kind of the same way spiritually. He says, I have planted. So we plant the seeds, and others come along and nourish that and continue giving encouragement and spreading that seed. And then God ultimately gets the glory for the harvest that was reaped. So with these thoughts in mind, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear God, I just thank you for this this message here this morning on sowing and reaping. Lord, help us to take this seriously, Lord, and to think of the seeds that we sow will reap a harvest. And Lord, just help us to, as we go throughout this week, just to remember that we would sow seeds of the Spirit and that we could reap the fruits of the Spirit. And Lord, I just pray by the aid of your Holy Spirit working through us that we could be a reflection, that we could reflect Jesus Christ to the world around us. We just thank you for the God that you are. Thank you that you care about us, that you love us. And I just pray that you would guide us and direct us as we go from day to day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You have a song, please.